Albert here with us today. And it is an honor and a privilege to have him come out worship with us today. I count him as my brother. Amen. And it's good to have. I did it again. Help me out. Help me out. Keegan, it's good to have you with us today, Keegan. And we are honored that you are. It's the second time she's been here, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct? I think she came Easter Sunday. Is that right? Yes, yes. If we could all stand for the reading of the Word of God. Keegan, don't feel bad. I have a hard time remembering my own name at times. I'm terrible with names, believe it or not. I really am. I'm trying to do better, though. I'm trying to retrain myself. They give you these little tips that you connect the person's name with something. Keegan is Keegan, right? It's such a unique name. I don't have anything connected with. it's a beautiful name, but I'm just trying to, what can I rhyme it with? There ain't nothing to rhyme it with. It's just unique. Amen. Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19 is where we are going. If you're already there, you beat me. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 1, very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse number 1 reads like this, "And Jesus entered in and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was," what? "He was rich." He had money. "And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. He ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." I don't know about you, but look at it in the face value. This gentleman was probably not well liked in society. He was collecting people's money. Anytime you get around people's money, you're usually not on their A-list. Amen. But they began to accuse Jesus of going to be a guest with a sinner man. "Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything, any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' Immediately, Zacchaeus begins to be defensive. 'God, I'll do whatever I need to do. I really, there's something about coming into the presence of God. We become vulnerable. No matter who we are, what our background is, where we've come from, how good we are, how bad we are, whether we're rich, whether we're poor. When you come into the presence of God, it's almost as if God sees right through us. And we feel insufficient in the presence of an almighty God. And Jesus said unto him," this is the beautiful part, "'this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is to seek and to save that which was lost.'" I want to preach just for a little while on this very familiar passage of Scripture and a statement that I've quoted many, many times in this pulpit, but I don't think I've ever preached from this particular passage of Scripture in this church. I have at Walkerton. I want to preach for a little while on this topic: the God of what ifs. The God of what ifs. Can we bow our heads? Dear Lord, we love you. And we thank you, God, for one more chance to be here. One more chance to gather with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And stand in your presence in awe at your majesty and your glory. There's no place else in the world, God, that we can feel this, that we can experience this, because You said where two or three would be gathered together, and in their midst, there you would be. And here in the midst of this body of believers is your presence, God. And that's why this feels so much different than any other church that you could visit. But today, God, you have chosen to dwell with your people. And today we ask that your Spirit would speak to us and guide us and direct us and help us to become more like you than we've ever been. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. No doubt having everything, having money, having prestige, having the finer things of life is a wonderful thing on the outset if you're looking at it from a distance. Before I get into what I'm going about to say at this point in my message, I want to clarify. The Bible did not say having money was a sin. The Bible said the love of money was the sin. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. You young people, hear me out, because the chances of us as older folks becoming rich at this state of our life on forward is probably pretty slim. But you as young people at the onset and the early part of your life, hear me now and hear me well. There is nothing wrong with striving for the finer things of life. There's nothing wrong with striving to try to drive and have the money to pay for, hear that clearly, having the money to pay for a nice vehicle or be able to take your kids on a vacation or have a nice home and keep a good job, get up every day, work hard with the sweat of your brow to try to get things in life. There's nothing wrong with that. That is actually a good thing. That's something I think America could use a little more of. But let me clarify something. If you think you're going to find happiness in things, if you think you're going to find happiness in the finer things of life and sitting in the fanciest of hotels and because you can drive a Mercedes-Benz up and down the streets of Winnemac or Rensselaer or Knox or North Judson or any other city in this area, if you think that's what's going to cause you to be happy, I'm afraid you're badly mistaken. There's nothing wrong with trying to achieve those things, but put them into perspective. That's just sustenance to get you every day along the way in this life and be able to provide for your family. But it can't give you eternal life. It can't give you anything that can give you the checkoff when you stand before the Master someday. When God looks through you and pierces through you with His eyes, you are going to stand just the way Zacchaeus did, very vulnerable. And unfortunately, at that point, there's not time for excuses. You're there. When God calls us home, we don't get a chance for a do-over. We can't go back and say, God, I need to go grab my mama and tell her I'm sorry. I need to go grab my wife and say it was the dumbest mistake I ever made. You as young people can't go back and grab the feet of your mom and daddy if God calls you home before you're a mature age and grab the feet of your mom and daddy. You can't go back once God calls you home and say, Mom and Daddy, I didn't give you the honor you deserved. It's too late. And the reality is very simple. You can go through life living like there is no God, but let this preacher be clear. As the bumper sticker once said, if you live like there is no God, you better be right. And if you could look into this preacher's eyes and tell me truthfully, when you get up in the morning on an earth that's spinning around its axis, rotating in an atmosphere, just close enough to the earth to the sun to make things grow and give us warmth so we don't freeze to death. Just far enough away from it so that we don't burn up. And when the stars begin to fall in the galaxy, He placed them just far enough so they don't hit the earth. And that little baby being born in the nursery ward at the hospital was because of just some theological Big Bang theory of two atoms that came together and there was an explosion and here we are. I'm sorry, but I just can't go for that. The reality is, only a God can give life like we see it today. And that same God that spoke this world into existence, created man with his very own hands, put everything into place, everything into its right point and right timing. In the midst of all of that going on, setting up kingdoms, tearing down kingdoms, fighting against principalities, fighting against powers. In all of those things, you think God is not busy. You need to look at your life, and then you need to look at what God's going on in this world. In one town, he's got one fighting cancer. Another town, he's got a heart attack. Another one's got a child that's missing. It's all around the world. You better be thankful we serve an omnipresent God that can be everywhere at the same time with the same amount of power. But in the midst of all of those things, God saw you. At the beginning of time, that God would know you by name. And recognize that on this day, now picture this. This is amazing to me. On this day in 2016, on a Sunday afternoon, you would be sitting in his house. He would prepare a message just for you. It's amazing to me. But that's kind of God that we serve. And those things don't just happen by accident. But the reality is, there are so many things going on in our world, and this is exactly where Zacchaeus found himself that day. Busy in life, busy in everything. He was wealthy. He was in with the political realm of his society. Not well liked by the people that were in the streets. But yet, in spite of all that, having everything by the tail, if you will, not wanting for anything, no doubt probably having servants, no doubt probably had the finest chariot if they had such in those days. No doubt everything was in place in his home, didn't want for anything, but yet there was a longing in his heart to find out what this Jesus was about. And if you need any more proof, I just want you to look at the fact that he was willing to climb a tree just to get a look at Jesus. I don't know about you, but my days of tree climbing are long gone. I don't climb trees. Most grown men don't, because we figured out a long time ago when the limb break, it hurts too bad. We broke ourselves from it after a broken limb or two. Or are we watching someone else's bone protruding out of their arm when they were trying to climb a tree? But the fact of the matter is, normal grown men don't climb trees unless they really do want something. And he can look, and then no doubt there was more that was longing in his heart than just wanting to see Jesus. I'm sure he had had a description of Jesus. He knew the miracles that Jesus had done. But there was something deeper inside this man's heart. Otherwise, he wouldn't have just climbed a tree. But he wanted to see. And no doubt it must have been a piercing moment as Jesus just happens, if you want to believe it that way, to stroll under and look up into the eyes of a man that immediately felt that piercing spirit. Here I am, a rich man, a wealthy man. I'm sitting up in a tree, and of all the people he spots me. And notice Jesus didn't just give him a glance, let him feel that conviction like many of us has felt when we sit in an apostolic church. And I thank God for conviction. How about you? The day God ever stops knocking on our door, that's when you get worried. But as Jesus began to walk by that day, he didn't just pass him by. He didn't just let him get a glimpse of who he was. He didn't stop and heal a blind eye as he was walking by. But he stopped at a need. He stopped at a hunger. He stopped at a curiosity. He stopped at a man that said, I've had it all by the tail, but still there's a longing in my heart. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, I want you to come down here. You don't know what is about to happen to you, Zacchaeus, but this is your day. This is a day that you're going to receive something that will transform your life. Zacchaeus had a choice. Zacchaeus could have come down the tree and ran with everything he had. And some of us probably would have. But he didn't. He came down and Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and he said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming home with you today. And see, that's where we kind of have a problem sometimes. Many of us, we have that moment that we come into the house of God. We come into the presence of God. We get a glimpse of the glory and the power and the majesty of God. We're sitting in an atmosphere like this as we began to sing some of those songs today. And you feel something that you don't feel anywhere else. You feel that is the power. That is the Spirit of God flowing through a people. And you feel that. And you come encounter with that. And then we walk out the door. And we walk away from it. And we say, yeah, we felt good. We felt, it just gave me that pick-me-up I needed. But somehow, some way, the devil steals it away from us. He pulls us back into that world. Robs us of what God really wants. And we're comfortable with just a taste. All because, what if? Our minds. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? No doubt Zacchaeus had these same thoughts. If I go down this tree, is he going to humiliate me? If I go down this tree, is everybody in that street going to look at me and say, Jesus has got his number? I'm supposed to be the one that's got it all together. And now the entire crowd is staring at a tree with Mr. Sophisticated sitting on a perch in a tree. The question is, how do we respond at that moment matters? Because we have a choice. We can leave that spirit right where we found it, truck out of there, and never return again. Or we can come down and look into the eyes of God with honesty, just the way Zacchaeus did, and say, God, I'm incomplete. I'll recognize that. In myself, I owe people money. That's what Zacchaeus was saying. I took their money, and some of it, probably they didn't know. I didn't get that house on the hill by accident, God. This is not a wealthy neighborhood. What that is an honesty before God that says, you know what, God, in myself, I recognize I've come up short. I'm incomplete. I may look like I've got it together, but I really don't. You see, the problem with what ifs is we can what if ourselves right out of the presence of God. Anybody ever done it before? I've done it. I would rest assured every single person in this house has done it. Anybody ever been sitting there in a service? They start singing that song or the preacher starts preaching that message. You feel that piercing presence of God in your life. You feel tears begin to stream down your face and we hold it back. Or you feel that knock of God on your life. It says, you know what? I want you to go to that altar. If you do, I'll meet you there. And you grip the back of that pew. I've done it. Every one of us has done it. We grip the back of that pew and pretend nothing's happening. All because of what if. And the devil holds so many people hostage over the what ifs of our lives. And every single one of them are a giant question mark. But I got news for you here today. God's not the God of question marks. He's the God of answers. And if you want to continue our lives, if we all want to continue our lives going down that road with questions and marks of how's this going to turn out? What am I going to have to do? What's involved? And how I don't even know how to pray right now. I'm so far from God, I don't even know how to get into His presence. He couldn't have mercy on me. Would He really love me? Why would He love me? Could He really take my life? Could He really change me? I don't know how I'm going to quit this. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. What is the... And we sit there and we reason with ourselves, every little atom of why we couldn't, instead of the real reason of why He could. And we've all got good excuses. If we don't, we'll come up with them, because us human beings are good at that, ain't we? Fact of the matter is, we look at it as failure can be futile. Defeat can be deafening. Sickness can be sinking. Depression can be dark. Fear can be frustrating. Death can be daunting. The what ifs stack up in your mind. And what if I don't make it back? What if my kids are lost for eternity? What am I going to be separated from them? What if it is cancer? What if it is terminal? What if God won't take me back? What if I'm rejected? Well, what if I invest all and I go and it don't work? Those questions the devil begins to plant one at a time in the minds of mankind. He begins to hold us hostage. And the fact of the matter is, God's got the answer to every question in your mind. And that answer is God. If the kids don't make it, it's in God's hands. If you don't get the job, it's in God's hands. Think about this. If it is a sickness that it's incurable, it's in God's hands. What if I don't wake up tomorrow? It's in God's hands. Every question that the devil poses into your mind to try to convince you to not make that next step in the presence of God. There was a man by the name... Bible doesn't really give him a name, but calls him the prodigal son. That prodigal son had everything in his daddy's house. He had 100%. Anything was at his fingertips. And there came a day that he wanted to try his own route. He wanted to make his own path. He wanted to blaze his own trail. He thought he could take the investments that daddy would put through the years that was going to be his, and he could do it better than daddy did it. And he thought, I can make this thing work. I can make it happen. So he asked for everything that was his and sent out and blazed his trail until finally the friends were there and the money was there and the drinks were there and the frivolous life was there, until finally, penny by penny, nickel by nickel, dollar by dollar, it had sucked every bit of life out of the man, until it was finally to the point he was sitting feeding the hogs. Think about this. He was sitting there feeding the hogs, longing just to have a bite of the hogs' food. Now that's hungry. Anybody ever seen slop they feed hogs? I don't want within 20 feet of it, let alone taking a bite of it. But that's hungry. I don't even want to be in the pen with those hogs. But that's where he was making his abode. So finally came the day. Now let me ask you this. When he pulled out that last dollar out of his pocket and bought that last drink, if you will, do you not think he thought through his head, I'm broke? But if I go back home, think about this. But if I go back home, the servants are going to make fun of me. Dad's going to say, I told you so. My brothers are going to mock me. And instead of making the right decision, not caring what everyone else thought, and doing what was right, it drove him until finally he was sitting next to a hog trough, smelling the hog's food, wishing he could have a bite because he is so hungry. And that is exactly where the devil takes people in life. He gets you to the point where you can't go anymore. You don't know where to turn. You just wish you could just someday go to sleep and never wake up again. That's what the devil does to people. And the whole time God's standing there saying, yo, over here, I'm your answer. I am right here. Would you just turn and look back to me? I will give you everything that you need to survive. You don't have to go through life living like that. But if you would just turn to me. And we're over there saying, but if I do turn to you. I don't know about you, but it almost appears in the atmosphere. This may just be my big Brother Smith silly imagination. But in the world there's these, God's saying, but if you would. And we're over there saying, but if I do. And you're over there saying, but if I did. And God's saying, but if you would. Back and forth in a struggle in the atmosphere. And the only one that can move that decision is us. And we as parents can sit back and struggle with the fact that we want our kids to be saved. We want our brothers and sisters to be saved. And we can frustrate ourselves. And lay on our bed and wake at night wondering and fretting and the what ifs. Let me tell you as a parent, if you dedicated that child to God, you raised that child in the best of your ability, in the fear and the admonition of God, leave it in God's hands at that point and don't fret yourself because you can't change it anyway. I know it's easier said than done. And there may be some young people, in fact, there's a lot of young people in here today. Most of our young people in here today, sitting here under the sound of my voice, hearing this preacher preach, watching and recognizing the mistakes that your parents made, wishing with everything you got inside your being that they would recognize what you have found and turn to God and their life would be so much different. And if you could just hold them and tie them up and drag them to Jesus, you would. But somehow you got to recognize you can't make that decision for anyone and there's nothing you can do but leave it in the hands of God because He is the answer to every single what if. Because every single one of us will come to that point and that place when God will knock on our door. And just like He told Zacchaeus that day, of all the people that was there in that multitude, He came that day for one man. The man sitting in the tree thinking he was high. As He knocked on that door, He said, Zacchaeus, going home with you today, buddy. Because today, salvation has come to your house. You know what He was saying? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am salvation. I'm coming to your house. And if you will receive me into your house, I will change your perspective on your entire life. Everything in your world can be turned around, can be changed. And the life can begin to turn a different direction. But the difference is whether or not, Zacchaeus, you allow me to come home with you today. I know that's a literal illustration. but inside of every person that's here today. There's a heart. It was not just made for blood to pump. It was made for a habitation of the presence of God. Think about this. It wasn't made, Brother Joey, so that I could run up and down the court, or I could run down the street and feel that heart beating. It was made so that I could feel the presence of God dwelling inside of me. The Bible says the Spirit of God dwelleth not in a temple made with hands. The only temple it dwells in is in the temple that was made by His hands. Sister Jade, you may be an artist, you may be a drawer, you may be a writer. I don't know if you are any of those things. But in your creative imagination, if you could build something, the most beautiful piece of gold, box, and say, okay, God, I want you to live in there. I have spent $5.2 billion. I know you've got that kind of money, sister. $5.2 billion on this box. Now, God, I want you to live here. I'll carry you with me everywhere I go. God would look at you and say, Jade, I know your heart was in it, but it can't handle my spirit. Because I don't want to dwell there. Sister Jade, I want to dwell in you. Think about the value of what you offer God. A $5.2 billion box. And God says, no, thank you. Sister Jade, the day the devil says you ain't worth nothing, you better look up. Because you're worth more than every single dollar that money could buy, because nothing can house the presence of God like you can. You were fitly, precisely designed to carry a part of His body. That spirit that reaches across this universe dwells in me. I don't know if that impacts you the way it impacts me, but the question today is, what are you doing with the what ifs? And we all have them in some form or fashion. Some of you have been in Christ and you're making your way back. Some of you have never lived for God and you're questioning, I'm not sure about all this. Some of you are living for God right now and God's pulling you, because you never should just come comfortable and say, okay, this is where I'm going to be. I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm waiting on a second coming. We should be climbing to be closer to God every day. And the question is, what are you doing with the what ifs in your mind? Are you just sitting there letting them recircle and recycle over and over and over again? And it's like counting sheep when you lay your head down on your pillow at night and you think, Lord, what if this happens? What if that happens? Why can't I? Why could I? What would happen if I did this? Why? What would happen if I didn't do this? Until finally you drive yourself crazy trying to figure out all the questions that go through your mind. And sometimes you just need to stay stop. Okay, God. You lead, I'll follow. That's exactly what Zacchaeus did. He said, okay, God, you lead, I'll follow. Let's all stand. Some of us sit alone, isolated, scared, frustrated, questioning. Some of us look at life and say, is this all there is to life? And some of us look at God and say, God could never forgive me. God would never love me. I've gone too far. I've did my own thing. But this preacher came to tell you those what ifs work both ways. And God says, what if I do heal them? What if you slip off into eternity and I do give them salvation? You're going to wish you'd have made the right decision. What if my mercy is enough to reach to the bottom of that well that you think ain't deep enough? And this is the final question that I want to ask you, that God is asking every single one of us today. What if God's working and we don't even know it? What if the moment we decide, I've run this road alone just long enough, and I don't think I can do it anymore, and I've decided I'm going to throw in the towel, what is, was, that's just going to be my life. How do you know that ain't the moment that God, that night, was knocking on the door of a lost loved one who was going to meet you here the next service? And you cashed it in just a moment too early. That was the moment that God had designed everything around, and you let the devil steal it. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, as a preacher today, I feel like God gave me a very specific message to this church. This is not a one person specific message today. This is a message to the body. Of every question you have in your mind, in your life, in your heart, you need to learn to give it to God and just follow Him. If you're going to look to find, and you think you're going to find happiness in some other avenue of life, some quick way to make money, maybe it's in a certain particular beautiful woman or a beautiful man or whatever it is in your life that you think that could bring you that happiness. Relationships or lust or frustrations or fear, all of the questions and the thing. If you think you're going to find it out there, let this preacher be a resounding sound today to tell you, if you're ever going to find real happiness, just ask Zacchaeus where it came from, because he had it. Ask the prodigal son that had everything at home and thought he was going to live it up. Take a look where the devil took him. You'll recognize, from whence cometh my help? It comes from God alone. So if you're here today, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and you've run your race, but you may be getting a little weary, or maybe you've chose to take your own path, I'm asking you today, how many of you would find a place to pray, whether it's in your pew, whether it's at this altar, or rededicate your life to God and say, God, I've been asking too many questions. I just need to serve you. Can we find a place to pray right now? God, I'm asking you right now in the Holy Ghost to walk through a mind that's even questioning maybe at this very moment of whether they're willing to commit to that next level in you, whether they're really willing, God, to give up everything and follow you, whether they're really willing to find that depth in their walk with you, God, that young person may be struggling with at this very moment, God. I want you to let them know at the other side of that token, there's a God that says, but if you will, I will be there. I'll walk every step. I'm just waiting for that opportunity. I'm waiting for that moment to respond to you with every ounce of power that I have in my being. I will respond to my child when it says, I need you. God, I'm asking you right now to walk through hearts and minds right now in the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. God, if they've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm asking you right now to begin to tug on their heart. If they've never repented of their sins, God, let them know, God, that's a point that they look into you and say, God, I've tried it my way, God, but now I need to go a different direction. I've made mistakes. I've failed, God. I recognize my incapacities, God. But now I need you. And that is the moment that you've been waiting for since the creation of every man. It's the moment someone says, I need you. Let them know, God, you're the answer to every what if of their life. And you'll hold their hand and you'll walk them through every trial. You'll walk them through every hard time. You'll walk them through every financial difficulty. You'll walk them through every low time. Every time that they feel like they can't go on, you'll be that comfort to lift them and carry them the times that they can't walk. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you right now to walk through this place with mercy. Walk through this place with grace.
Every breath that I take,
he cut up
every
rabosata.
Lord, have your
way. I need you, Jesus. More than my next breath. More than my next breath, God, I need you. I need you.
I live for you.
I can't do it on my own, God, anymore. I'm here, God, right now, vulnerable for you. I've casted away every question in my mind, and right now, God,
I give you my heart.
You, oh God.
I give you my soul.
I
live for you.
In the name of Jesus. 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 Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's spend just a few moments in his presence. There's no place. There's nothing like feeling his presence. How long's it been since you've been saturated with the Holy Ghost? Have you been a little dry? Have you been a little parched? Has life gotten you a little busy? You haven't taken the time to be refilled and rebaptized with the Holy Ghost. I tell you, today there's a springing well. There's a fountain that's here for you. If you'll reach out to it, God is here. Decision is up to you today. But let this preacher beckon one more time.
Lord, I give you my heart.
Would you respond to him?
I give you my soul.
I live
for you. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake.
Lord,
have your way in me. Lord,
let this be a journey, God, in someone's life.
I give you my soul.
It'll lead them to you. In a life and a walk with you like they've never experienced before. A peace in their life. a comfort in their life, God.
Lord,
we may not understand it all, God, but today I'm going to follow you. I'm going to walk with you, God. I'm going to serve you, God. I don't know where this journey will take me, God, but at this point in my life, I really don't care. All I know is I need
you.
Thank you, Jesus, for responding to us today. Thank you, God, for reaching out to us today one more time and allowing us to feel your Spirit. Even on our flesh and our inconsistencies and our fears and doubts and confusions and frustrations and all of those things that go on in our mind, you still chose to visit me today. Even as a preacher today, God, and everything that goes through my mind and my life, God, you still chose to use me today. For that I say thank you, God. Thank you, God. Can we spend just a few more moments in his presence? Let's not take it lightly. Let's enjoy it. You won't feel this anywhere else. You won't feel this sitting at a restaurant. You won't feel this at Walmart. That's just a special encounter with the presence of God. It's here today.